everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Here in the studio with Ben Starr and Julian Joiello. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And many of people have written over the last couple of weeks. They said, who is Julian and who is Ben? And they are both family as well as they are students. They're studying here, and they help me. They're terrific assistants here at the station. And our version of the positive mind. Our version of the positive mind is not just about beautiful feelings. Our version of the positive mind includes dealing with the most difficult situations. One of the most difficult feelings you have to deal with is pain. I don't address pain very often. But in a recent training seminar, I was addressing the issue of inflammation. And I came across a question, what is pain? What is pain itself? What does it mean? What does it feel like? How many forms of pain are there? And I was curious about you and your experience of pain. So I thought this would be a good opportunity for you to call in today at 212-757-5555 and tell me about your experience of both physical and emotional pain. A brief phone call will take off from there. 212-757-5555. Good number, huh? Hard to forget. You're going to have to get online once you call because our phone lines will be buzzing, but do stick with us. 757-5555. Let me go to Ben. Ben, let's talk about pain.
Well, let's talk about it. Before the show, Armand, you asked me what was the most pain I'd ever been in, and what I responded to you was, do you mean physical or emotional?
Right.
Because they're so different. And I think that's an important distinction, although sometimes our emotional pain manifests in a physical way. And there is a word for that. There's a name for that. It's called psychogenic pain. But we've done some research on the forms of pain, and we understand that there's three major subtypes of pain. The first being something called nociceptive pain, which is most physical types of pain that fall under that umbrella.
Okay, what does that mean, nociceptive?
Well, nociceptive pain covers the majority of physical pain you might feel. For example, scrape your elbow or you scrape your knee. That's called a mechanical pain, and it falls under the umbrella of nociceptive pain. Now, let's say you got that scraped knee and you want to clean it out with some alcohol and peroxide. Well, the pain that you feel, the stinging pain you feel, that's a chemical pain. And then the third type of nociceptive pain would be a thermal pain. So that'd be
a hot
or a cold pain.
Heat or cold, both can hurt. And so can the mechanical pain itself.
Right, mechanical pain would
Your mechanical pain, I think, is kind of interesting. The one that happened to you, what did you do?
I broke my leg.
You broke your leg completely in half?
Right in half. I broke my tibia.
Wow.
So many years ago.
So it must be better by now.
It is. It still hurts every time it gets rainy or humid.
Really?
Yeah.
So what is the what was it like?
Well, as soon as it broke, I knew that it was broken because I could hear it. It sounded like if you took a dry tree branch and snapped it.
Wow.
It was that kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew from the pain and the sound that it was broken. And there were people around me trying to console me and calm me down because I was in shock. And I was yelling at them, it's broken. And they said, no, don't worry, you just sprained it. And I said, no, I know it's broken. You don't understand. I heard it break. And that was incredible physical pain.
What was the physical pain that went with it, Ben?
It was a burning hot pain in my leg, almost like I had molten steel in my leg.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't get it out. It was just an excruciating...
Was there any way you could move? Is there any direction you could move in that wouldn't hurt?
No. Every slightest movement created an even more intense
sensation. So going to the hospital must have been, horrible, right?
Yeah, it was my first and only ride in an ambulance, and the ambulance was doing its best to get me there, but obviously there were some bumps in the road, and every tiny little bump in the pavement was just another excruciating pain
sensation.
Screaming pain, yeah.
Wow.
It was awful.
Wow. Well, women know of this pain with childbirth. A lot of women do know of deep, deep, deep pain with childbirth. Men don't have as much of an experience of it. I've had a couple of experiences of intense pain. And there are times I wanted to pull the handle, just say, get me out of here. This is so bad.
Just check out.
Just check out, sure. Well, what about emotional pain?
I mean, I've been there. I've had some pretty painful emotional experiences, too.
And when you
too.
Talk about emotional experience, what would you say?
I would say the most difficult emotional pain I felt was when I was told that my best friend passed away.
Wow.
It was his little brother who called me up and told me. And that moment, that pain was just tremendous.
You heard that your best friend died?
Yeah.
And how old were you at the time?
I was 26.
Wow. Amazing. Must have crushed your heart.
Crushed it. Just unlike anything I've ever felt before or since.
Well, Ben, if you had a choice, broken leg, dead friend.
It's not even a choice.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'd break both my legs to not have to feel that.
With your friend again.
Yeah.
Brave man. 212-757-4455555. 757-5555. We got Annie on the line. Hi, Annie. It's Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. Good morning.
Good
afternoon
morning.
To you.
Good morning.
Getting the time mixed up. You were talking about pain. I'm in pain 24/7. I have a bad, bad back. And I've had so far 6 back operations.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and I'm still in pain. And I went to my son's house, who's in Bedford-Stuyvesant. You know how they have those thick steps to go up? Oh, my God. He had to lift up my leg because I couldn't lift it up to put it down. So I'm just in pain all the time. I'm calling you now. I just took my pain pill, and I'm going to lay down.
What kind of pain pills do you take? Percocet? What do you take?
No, I take Dilaudid.
You take Dilaudid? That's pretty seriously up there.
Yeah, yep. I have serious up there pain.
Yeah, I hear. How does it feel? What's it like?
It's just horrible. I mean, it's so frustrating. Usually everyone knows whenever my pain is real bad because they can hear it in my voice. Usually I'm a very lively type of person, but you hear the pain in my voice, and it's just
so. And how do you get by it? How do you get by?
I don't really. I just take the pain pills, and then I lay down with my heating pad on my back and get nice and warm because sometimes I feel so cold and whatnot. And
I went to the Mayo Clinic, and I was studying with them on their studies of migraines.
Uh-huh.
And migraine pain very often calls for something like Dilaudid. And
they
said the following. They took all the people who were taking these drugs,
uh-huh.
and they said, we're going to be in a program together. And for 2 weeks, they had these people take away their medications.
Oh, boy.
They took away all their medications, and they were not allowed to use the word pain.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't allowed to talk about it. They weren't allowed to refer to it. They weren't allowed to say, my back. They weren't allowed to complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
They did that for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they hung around each other, and they danced whenever they could.
I wish I could.
An amazing thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
They got better.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it happen. I was amazed.
Wow.
So maybe what happens eventually, the medications themselves call back the pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a consideration. I'll tell you more about it anytime you want. What about emotional pain? What have you been through?
Oh, boy. The pain has put me through basically the craziness and the feeling miserable and upset. And, this past weekend we went through craziness because my son had emergency surgery. And then my father's been having problems. And then it's just been
it
a crazy
thing. It seems to
pain.
Me, Ann, that there's a bunch of people that love you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
How did you get
true.
That to happen, being such a miserable creep you are?
But I'm not a miserable person.
No,
to
you're
you.
Not.
No, not to you. I'm very positive, and everybody calls me and tell me about their stuff, and I tell them what I think. No, I'm not. My philosophy is, I won't go out if I'm in a bad, bad way because I feel like I don't want nobody to be around me when they're miserable. So I don't want to be around nobody when I'm miserable. So
Jesus,
I just
man,
stay
thank,
home.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You're a lesson. For how to live with it. I do wish you would
too.
Seriously consider
uh-huh.
maybe the Mayo Clinic program, which you could possibly get into,
uh-huh.
you know, which would take you off this.
I would love it.
And try it out. I would check it out if I were you.
I've been this way since 96.
Yeah, I would check it out.
I had my first back surgery. So, and my last one was in 2014.
Check it out, and if you need my name, use my name, and I'll talk to whoever I can talk to for you.
Okay, that'll be good.
Okay, thanks for calling
in. Thank you. Bye-bye.
212-757-5555. So what does that mean? What does that mean that you have a pain that just won't go away and you're taking Dilaudid? Do you know what Dilaudid is?
I'm sure it's an opiate derivative.
It's a step away from heroin.
Is it like fentanyl?
It's a step away from heroin, down from up from oxycodone, you know, you're just really affecting your brain. You're saying, shut off these mechanisms, give me artificial painkillers. It's terrible to live with that. What are the other kinds of pain that there are?
Well, we talked about nociceptive, which is basically an umbrella term for many different kinds of physical pain. There's also neuropathic. So neuropathic pain is caused by any kind of damage or disease relating to the nervous system. So something like bumping your funny bone, that's a neuropathic pain. Because if you bumped this, if you had the same bump on your wrist, that you wouldn't get that sensation, that tingling. So a lot of tingling and pins and needles and shooting pains are actually neuropathic.
What would you call the kind of pain that you get in your toes and distal pain? You know, pain that you feel that is referred pain.
Well, I think the difference between the two types that we talked about is that a nociceptive pain would be something caused by an external factor,
right?
And a neuropathic pain would be something caused from an internal factor. So I know sometimes my toes might get numb after walking around, maybe in the wrong kind of shoes all day. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be a neuropathic pain related to either nerves or blood flow.
Let's take another call. Nancy, you're on the line. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. Hey, Nancy. Are you there, Nancy? I guess not. Do call back. Neuropathic pain, and there are other types of pain as well.
Well, there's one more major type, which is pain that's caused or related to mental or emotional factors, and that's called psychogenic pain.
Well, let's talk about psychogenic pain. You can make up a story in your mind, and your mind makes up a story of pain. Why would it do that? You know, here's a real question. Why would we create stories that would cause us pain? And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. By the way, a reminder, tomorrow we have a special on theater and acting training. We're going to have with us Kevin O'Donoghue and Marie Ciccinelli, and we're going to have Julian as well. We're going to be talking about acting and psychotherapy. It should be a very, very interesting discussion. We got Gabe on the line. Hi, Gabe. It's Armand DeMille.
Hey, Armand. How's it going?
Good.
So you're talking about pain, and something came to mind. And I was a former heroin addict, and was plagued with withdrawal all the time, and the pain of withdrawal. And I was thinking about that, and you know, it's a terrible pain. It's just. You know, 1,000 times worse than the flu. Feels like your bones are being pulled apart from the inside. I mean,
basically every part of your body
is malfunctioning.
Gabe, go back a moment to me and describe your bones are being pulled apart from the inside, what that feels like.
Yeah, it's an aching to the core of your bones that you can't escape, that you can't, you know, I used to punch my legs, literally, trying to reach my bones, you know, trying to somehow affect that aching, but you can't, you know, and it goes from your bones to your skin, your hair hurts, you know, everything literally just malfunctions and hurts. And where I was going with this was that many times in my addiction, I would get arrested, and I would end up going through withdrawal. In jail. And an interesting thing happens when you do that. And the pain actually lessens. And believe it or not, even though it's a somewhat more of a miserable experience, because you are, you know, when you first go into jail, you're confined to one cell, usually a two-man cell with five people crammed in there. And you're confined in there for 7 days where they don't let you out at all. It's like a quarantine time when you first get there. So imagine in this tiny cell, you, probably three or four other heroin addicts also going through withdrawal, you know, with no hope of any relief. And this is where the pain is lessened, because you can't fight the pain. There's no thinking, well, maybe I can go out and score some heroin. Maybe I can, you know, do something, get some pills to lessen the pain. There's no, there is none of that. So you have to totally surrender to the pain. And in surrendering to the pain, it is lessened, I would say, you know, as much as 50%, which is incredible.
Wow. That's quite a lesson.
Yeah, so I don't know, you know, what you do with that, but I just thought that was interesting, and I decided I wanted to share that with you.
Let me ask you something, Gabe. What about emotional pain?
Well, my personal experience with emotional pain, I mean, I, you know, I had a rude awakening when I was 11, when my mother passed away. Abruptly, she was 34 and had a heart attack.
What was that,
so
like?
That was,
what was that,
you know,
like?
My first experience with emotional pain on a high level.
On a high level? What, did you scream when it happened?
I did. You know, and I don't remember that part very well, but my father tells me that I let out this primal type of scream and cry that he had never heard from me before. I don't really remember that part, but you know, that was my first reaction.
And do you remember after that was when you found the drugs?
Yeah, it was. Well, I had when I was 11, and by the time I was 12, I'd found the drugs, which was just, you know, perfect for me at that point, because I needed something to give me some relief, you know, from that pain and just misery I was going through. You know,
and
so
since
it,
then,
you know, very quickly, I, you know, from 12, you know, smoking pot, I ended up with a needle in my arm by the time I was 15. So, you know, it progressed very quickly.
And there's a way out of it. There's a way out of it, which is to aim back to that very moment when you were 11 years old. And we could do it. We do it.
Yep,
we find people,
absolutely.
We take them right through it, and they go through it, and the drugs are no longer necessary. Sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in, Gabe.
Absolutely. Take care.
A little earlier, Audrey was telling us about childbirth. She said 30 years... She was in 30 hours of giving childbirth, and she described what it was like. And there's nothing I can imagine like that, the way she described it. And then she talked about emotional pain, the emotional pain of losing somebody who you love. And I asked her, which would you choose, the emotional or the physical? And she said, I'd choose the physical again, not the emotional. I'm sure many of you feel that way. 212-757-5555. So what makes the emotional pain happen? Here's what happens. We get nervous. And when we get nervous, we look for some reason to match the nervousness. And the nervousness that we're matching is this, we have this kind of agitation. And we're looking to find something that matches the agitation. So we create a situation, and we call that situation the reason we're feeling pain. And the reason we're feeling pain is because of the situation we created. So we keep the creation staying in touch with our feeling. You know, so now the creation is what's causing the feeling, and we keep them associated. So if we have it associated to a date or relationship, we keep the relationship because we want to keep a balance between the pain and the relationship. It's not that we need the relationship. It's that we keep the relationship so we could keep the pain, so the pain is under control.
Are you saying a lot of pain is chosen?
Chosen.
Is it opted for?
Opted for.
As some kind of strategy? Or?
It's a strategy. Exactly right, Ben. It's a strategy for keeping things in order. Keeping your mind completely structured. We have another caller, I think.
So I guess that would fall into the last category that we described earlier.
Psychogenic
pain, right?
And that's the reason for psychogenic.
So like, for example, when someone ends a relationship and they say that they're so heartbroken that they're, you know, it physically hurts. Is that kind of an example of what you're talking about?
Right. They don't want to give it up. They don't want to give it up because this is all they're living for. They're living for the pain itself. We got Edwina on the line. Hi there, Edwina.
Hello. Armand, I wanted to tell you about my experience with heavy pain.
Tell me.
I've had a bad back for a long time and have been going to a rheumatologist, and he missed the fact that the excruciating pain that I was suffering from was hip, bone on bone on both sides. And he sent me to all kinds of specialists, and believe it or not, they all missed me too. But what finally, after 18 months of being on OxyContin and Dilaudid, at 15 months, I found a doctor who said, oh, it's your hips, and I had both hips done at the same time. And I stayed on that Dilaudid until one day I woke up and, poof, no pain. So I said, well, I won't take it. And by the noontime, no pain, didn't take it. By the rest of the day, no pain, I didn't take it. The next day, I don't recall feeling anything, but by the third day, I started to come down with flu-like symptoms, which, of course, was withdrawal. And they got so bad that I couldn't get out of bed. Luckily, I had a husband in the house, and he was able to cook for me and this and that. And the doctor who had prescribed the stuff was concerned and thought maybe I ought to go to a detox center, but I happen to be a Gary Noel aficionado, and I've been taking supplements, green drink in the morning and all that stuff. So by the end of the fifth day, I felt well enough, and I went down to a doctor who gives IV drips. And I had a large IV drip of vitamin C, B complex, and followed by glutathione. And believe it or not, that was it. I never felt another thing, not a drop of withdrawal. I was away from those drugs.
Good for you. Good for you, Edwina, especially that glutathione. It's magic.
Well, it's only really absorbed if it's done by IV. But I thought to myself, if some of your listeners who are on trying to get off of something but can't, leading up to the surgery, I also went through twice a week of these IV drips. And I was told by many doctors, including the pharmacist who saw me and the physiotherapist, you have done very, very well. And I think it's because I was feeding my body good things leading up to this. But I'll tell you, that pain was excruciating, and there were a couple of times when I couldn't move.
Edwina, what about emotional pain? What's the biggest one you ever felt?
I'd say the biggest one that I ever felt was going through my husband's long demise.
Wow.
And it was so bad. And by the way, I also suffer from seasonal affective disorder.
But what about your husband? What about that? He died. He took a long time to die.
Well, 2.5 years is when he was really needed my help. And it was very difficult. And I was so low. I can't tell you how low I was, and everybody said, get on antidepressants, and I have been resisting them, because even before my husband was ill, I was suffering from the effects of seasonal affective disorder.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done a lot of reading about depression and bipolar, because I thought, well, maybe I have a touch of that, because there's two kinds, you know, heavy-duty kind and then the lighter kind. And I'm a firm believer that forewarned is forearmed. And when a friend of mine said, Ann, I think you have bipolar. And I said, you know what? And I went to the library and got everything out on bipolar. And I thought, you know, I have a little touch of this. And so I thought every time I would go to buy something I didn't need, I'd say, do I really need that, or is that just me?
Okay, Edwina, I want to thank you very much. We're running out of time. You've been a major contributor. I want to thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you so much. So pain, as you can see with her, the physical pain was one thing. The emotional pain of watching her husband die was a much more difficult thing for her to go through. 212-757-3555. No, 5555. We won't have a chance to take any more calls right now. We are going to be back with you in a little bit. We're going to remind you again about tomorrow. Tomorrow we have a... tomorrow we're going to be able to do a program on theater and psychotherapy and how it relates to it. We're going to have some major players here. Should be a lot of fun. Be sure to tune in. This is Armand DeMille with Julian Gioiello and Ben Starr. We are doing really well. We'll be back with you in just, maybe not, maybe a minute or so. You could get in contact with us through armand@thepositivemind.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter, too.
Yeah, and we're back on schedule now. So Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. you'll
except
be here.
Except for next Tuesday.
The positive.
No, night. Next Tuesday. We're not going to be on next Tuesday.
Oh, except for next Tuesday.
They're having a special Tuesday day.
Right.
But we'll be on Wednesday.
Right, Wednesday.
And then every Tuesday and Wednesday after that.
Right, so there'll be some consistency.
But Ben,
coming up.
Won't hear on, be here on the Wednesdays.
Yeah, so with those exceptions, going forward, we'll be here Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1.
Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we'll be here as you would want.
As usual.
Yeah, I mean, you should keep tuning in to WBAI anyways, but especially for us here at The Positive Mind. Thanks for sticking in, and make sure to use our Twitter. If you do use Twitter, our handle is @ArmandDimille. Armand DeMille. Tweet at us questions that you'd like to ask. We love answering them on air, or send that email to armand@thepositivemind.com.
And we want to thank you, those of you who have pledged money to the program, please call in and make those pledges good. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes.
On Tuesday, June 16th, from 1 to 3 p.m., WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, will present a one-of-a-kind arts and cultural special called A Moment with Julie Belafonte. Join dancer Julie Belafonte, her daughter with the legendary Harry Belafonte, actress and film producer Gina Belafonte, and their special in-studio guest, WBAI's own John Kane of First Voices Indigenous Radio. Hosted by Cindy Campbell, the First Lady of Hip Hop, this is one special you can't afford to miss. Again, that's Tuesday, June 16th from 1 to 3 p.m. Tune in and spend a moment with Julie Belafonte. You'll be glad you did.
Venu d'Afrique pour bercer l'enfant sur ton dos. loin de l'enfer et des tourments. Elle emporte son enfant, comme il y a des millions d'années, l'histoire va recommencer. Au milieu du feu et du sang, une femme emporte son enfant, comme il y a des millions d'années, l'histoire va recommencer. Tifi Congo, Tifi Congo, ton enfant dort sur ton dos. Tifi Congo, Tifi Congo, il sera roi d'un monde nouveau. Tifi Congo, Tifi Congo, ton enfant dort sur ton dos. Tifi Congo, Tifi Congo.
That's Kali with Tifi Congo here on The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM WBAI New York. We're talking about pain today here in the studio with Armand DeMille and Julian Gioiello. You can call us in at 212-757-5555.
How do people, a few people have sent in emails and asking us about how pain relates to sex. In 50 Shades of Grey and all of a number of different books recently, the question becomes about how pain relates to sex. There was a recent movie I saw. It was called Insult. And in this movie, there was a man who had made $1 million or multi-millions, and he was bored. And the only thing that made him feel good was physical pain from a woman. Whenever he felt yelled at, beaten at, screamed at, it made him feel good, made him feel alive. How many of you live for the pain itself? 212-757-5555. You wouldn't believe that you would prefer pain because you would complain about it all the time. But if you continuously find yourself in a situation of pain, maybe you're looking for it.
Well, there's certain good kinds of pain for me that I felt like I enjoy. Like, for example, if you exercise a lot, I know that when you rip your muscles and you wake up the next day and you're feeling the soreness of your muscles rebuilding themselves, that sort of pain for me is exhilarating. It hurts to move your arm or your leg or walk even, but it feels alive. You feel
there's something to it that makes you know you're
right.
Building.
Yeah, there's something about that
swollen,
that feeling.
Right?
Yeah.
The phrase?
Yeah, something swole.
Swole.
Means swole.
Swole.
Swole. Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of pain like that that exists too, that is good pain too.
I mean, I like the pain of, I mean, not too painful, but I like it if a woman would just grab my hair and maybe pull it a little bit, you know, sitting on the couch watching a movie. It's not, you know, it's not unpleasant for me.
Is it unpleasant for anyone? Is there a certain level of pain that is enjoyable?
Maybe. I think maybe.
We've got Carol on the line. Hi there, Carol. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi.
Hi there.
I really like the subject because I've been through this quite a bit, and I'm 72 now. But when I was 23 or 25, I had an ulcer. And before that, I had a lot of intestinal problems all through my childhood and everything, and then I had colitis in my 20s. So when I was having the ulcer, I was in therapy, and my therapist one day, he said to me, like, you know, your ulcer is your companion. And that, you know, really woke me up for the rest of my life. And I realized that what he said was true. This ulcer, the pain of it, kept me company. And ever since then, whenever I have any kind of a painful situation, particularly intestinal ones, you know, I realize that I have to go through like a grieving process as I'm getting better let go of it.
You got to let go of it because you have to get better. You have to grieve it.
That's right. I have to grieve it to do it the right way because there's always that purpose that I got it, even though maybe I wasn't responsible for getting it. It could be a germ or a bacteria, but still I hang on to it, and I do have a definite relationship with that pain.
And that pain and other pains as well.
Right.
Okay, what relationship do you have with pain now?
Okay, I don't have any really pain now. Well, I do get occasional back pain, but I just ask myself, when I get a pain, I ask myself, well, how come I got it now instead of yesterday? And is anything going on in my life that's scary?
And you usually find a connection?
I can usually find it, yeah. It's really wonderful. If he hadn't said that, I would never have been tuned into that. And
that's
I love that you're having this program on it because it's really true.
That's great. I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Carol.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling in. So how many of you have identified pain with a certain consistency, a relationship that you've had? 757-5555. How many times have you noticed that this is so familiar? The same thing, the same feeling. Oh, he doesn't call, he doesn't write. Oh, he's this or he's that. And you blame the other person for the source of your pain. How many times can you repeat, my daughter this, my daughter this, my son, my uncle, my father, my mother? How many people can you blame for the pain that you feel when it's really you who are trying to gather this pain?
Or at least keep holding on to it.
Keep holding on to it. It's a way to know you exist.
I mean, it's a conscious choice, too. I guess we do have a choice between holding it and letting go of it.
Letting go of it. Give me a good example of that.
You want an example of letting go of pain?
Yeah.
It took me a while to grow up and kind of forgive what I felt were perceived slights and hurts against me. By, you know, my parents and by other people in my life. I got to a certain age, I think in my mid-20s, where I just realized that I was still angry about things that happened when I was a teenager.
How long did it take you, Ben, to forgive yourself for your friend's death?
At least a year. I mean,
you remember?
You know, it happened 2.5 years ago at this point. And I held on to a lot of guilt around that.
Right, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. But I think it took me over a year to...
Because you could have done a little better.
Yeah, there were things I could have done differently,
right.
Too. Sure.
Sure. Sure. Hey, we've got Ronald on the line. Hi, Ronald Toro. This is Armand DeMille.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Hello, Mr. Armand DeMille. I have called you a couple of times and in the past. Now, what happened was, what I thought was just some sciatica that got really fierce, and then finally I went to a hospital. My sons, I was scared to death to go. They said, what you need is pain management. And what they think it is now, even though what they thought it was, and I've been pursuing, is multiple myeloma. Where my bones have become very thin and fractured, and... It's a pain that has a life of its own.
Sure.
And you can't convey to people that walking outside, it's necessary, but it's totally separate from anything that I've ever known in the past, because the pain only implies how worse they can get. And I'm just... it was, so far I've gotten great attention from my children, and I'm sitting here right now not too bad with the pain medication, but undescribable that you don't think should be included in life.
It's just
in
not
the
fair.
Tapestry of life.
It's
and
just not fair, Ronald. It's
and
not
no
fair.
One
You're a good guy, right?
Because no one gave it to me.
Right. It's just not fair. You just had too much beauty in your life. How many children you got?
Four.
Four kids. How did you do that?
At a very early age, but it's probably the best thing I ever done, in spite of that I've never done much else, except try to go off on other erroneous paths.
You found a path
of committing.
But you did some good stuff with your heart, right?
Pardon?
You did some good stuff with your heart. Now you got to settle for your myelomas.
The thing is, it seems like when it comes to this category of illnesses, that they don't know nothing about it. They can only give you, like, pain management, but they can't erase the continuing progression, and that's what scares me, that I may turn on my bed and snap.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the deal. I'm, that's the deal as we know it.
I'm telling you, I actually, Mr. Armand, you know, I don't really understand it, but they say the brain talks to itself, or I talk to my own brain.
You're doing
so
the best you can.
I don't want to come out and say, I want to go and just get off the planet, you know, and pass away, but because I don't want to give that to my children and my granddaughter. She even came out and said, don't be selfish. And I think that there's some truth there, but when it comes to this form of illness, I think a man should not be questioned if he thinks he has the moxie to take his life.
Well,
but I
think there's only
one.
I don't
want to push myself like
that's
that.
That's the trouble. The trouble is you leave behind four people who feel guilty. You know, I'll leave them alone and suffer through it.
Well, suppose I can't.
You can. Come on, you've done a lot through now. You're
I've
a tough guy. Get on my
little change, but I also led a very spoiled life.
Yeah.
From the point of view, I mean to say that I never had to struggle much when I was a kid that I can think of, or maybe it's always been the case that I didn't notice.
Well, listen, we'll go through it. We'll get through it. I know you're not going anywhere. Thank you for sticking around. We need you in this army.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Okay, stay well, everybody. Take good care of yourselves.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
You too.
212-757-5555. Sometimes you call us and we have too many lines lit, so our internal office picks up the phones and tells you we'll call you back. We will. We will get back to you. You know, we will get phone numbers and we'll try dialing you back. It's so funny when you have to listen. You have to live with a fatal illness. But it's all right. You know, it's okay if you got lung disease or if you got heart disease or if you got some kind of a disease that's going to end your life shorter. So what?
I mean, so what for you? But it's not, I mean, the people around you that love you don't necessarily feel that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course. And if you could take it and stick around with them, you know, it's all right. Dig in. Hey, we got Megan on the line. Hi there, Megan. It's Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. Last caller just brought up a memory of my dad who passed away a couple years ago, and he was always a stoic man, and emotional, physical pain that he was in, he just always kept it to himself. And us, the family, I guess maybe growing up, we kind of became that way also, but just the time that he was diagnosed to the time that he passed away, it was only a short two-month period.
Wow.
And probably for about a year before that, we started seeing symptoms, maybe even up to 2 years. And he would just never let anybody in. So I can't imagine the kind of pain that he was on because he was on pretty heavy-duty medicines. So that was just a memory that kind of came up listening to the last caller.
Well, and what about you? Have you been through other physical pain besides that emotional pain?
Well, you know what, well, I moved back home when he got sick and just kind of stopped everything. And to me, getting through it, I don't know if it's a coping mechanism or what, but I just always kept busy, always kept, you know, maintaining the house, trying to keep their finances, all the paperwork, medical things in order. And I do have guilt that I just didn't sit with him more, hold his hand, talk to him, you know, tell him how much I loved him.
Well, what would you do now if he could hear you?
Oh, he knows. He's
no, no, what would you do right this minute? If you could communicate right this minute, holding his hand.
Oh, God, Dad, I love you so
drop into it right now.
Everything. Yeah.
No, drop into it. Go there. Go there.
I just love you. Everything I wish we could have said and done together and that you could have opened up more to let us know what you were going through so we could help you.
Well, instead of regretting what he didn't do, could you tell him what you feel without castigating him? Without criticizing him in any way. Can you do that now? Don't criticize him.
Right. I admire you.
So
I admire you, Dad, for what you did go through and that you maintained the family and didn't want us to worry about you, that you had it, and you were kind of the leader, and you showed us that way. I guess you dealt with the cards you were dealt with and weren't going to complain about it.
Hmm. So I love you, Dad.
Yeah, very much.
And I miss you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
We very often feel critical of people who are in pain or even decide to suffer with their own pain. 212-757-5555. So like we said, we will be getting in touch with you. All of those who have called and left your number, I will be returning your call to you. But the question is the following. What pains do you choose in your life? How have you chosen to live a painful life? Did you ever notice that there are things you do that are just not right for you? That's the question. Things that you've chosen that are not right for you. And we have is it possible that you could have a situation that you repeat over and over again and you know it's going to come from a bad place? You ever find yourself doing that?
Sure. Whether it's in a professional context or in terms of a romantic relationship context, I've definitely felt like I've been at times banging my head against the wall, expecting different results. And yet there's something about me or my choices that leads me to keep doing that.
Same place over and over again.
Yeah, sure.
And what's the end result? What's the end decision, Ben? The end decision is, you can't trust anybody?
Yeah, it's a dissatisfaction, an alienation, a bit of regret, a lot of things.
Yeah. We're going to have Albert on the air in just a minute, I believe. If we keep proving over and over again a belief that services us, like no one is to be trusted, you know, if we keep believing that over and over again, that's what we'll go out and prove, through pain. We got Albert on the line. Hi, Albert.
Hello, how are you, Armand?
Good, we called you back.
Yes, thank you so much. The topic really hits home for me today, having experienced some physical pain, but more emotional. And I would have to agree with your partner there that the emotional pain is by far the worst of the two.
What is your emotional pain?
For me, the last couple of years have been exceptionally hard. I just had the one-year anniversary of my mom's death and 2 years for my dad.
Wow.
And they passed away 51 weeks apart. And I like to say to people that I was abnormally close to my parents because I was very close to them. And they relied on me for a lot in the last couple of years of their lives. And you know what? You see it just watching their bodies get worse and worse with their sicknesses. It just, you know, and you see the writing on the wall in the last few months of my dad's life. And having to accept that and knowing that the inevitable is going to happen. And, boy, it's not an easy thing. The pain in your stomach, just trying to accept it. And then I lost him 2 years ago last week. And then my mom's anniversary was just the end of May for 1 year. And then having to do it all over again 1 year later. And you know what? I try to get through the day, and I have to still continue living. But that pain is there. It's there, and I have to distract myself from feeling it. And I like to say that it's unfair for me to take their whole lives and remember the last year for each of them that was really bad. They relied on me for so much. And instead, I'd rather reflect on the 50 years of my life that they gave me, which was great. And that's something I have to drill into my head every day.
Well, you know, Albert, you could do both. You don't have to drill it into your head. You could have both. You'd have both images. One is the horror of their degeneration of their bodies, and the other is the beauty of how you love them. You don't need to kill one to get the other.
Okay.
And I strongly recommend that you keep both, because this way you don't bury anything. Reality was there was a horrible death, and there was a beautiful life.
And that's how I, you know, like my dad's anniversary was just the other day, and he spent his last 4 days in a beautiful hospice up in New Jersey. And you know what? And I wanted to be there at that exact moment where his final days were and his final moments. And I wanted to be there. And there were some beautiful people at this place, and I sat with them, and I still have tears, and I sat and chatted with them, and that's where I wanted to be. You know, for me, that's how I wanted to deal with it. My brothers, I mean, that wasn't what they wanted to do, but for me, that's where I wanted to be, and that's how I spent my day. And when I left that place the other night, I felt great. My heart felt great, and that's how I deal with it.
Albert, thank you so much for calling in.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille. We will try to return all of your calls to you. Beautiful, beautiful program, beautiful people. Remember, tomorrow we're going to do the theater thing, which should be very fascinating, especially for any of you into the arts. And we'll be, you can contact us at armand@thepositivemind.com or Twitter.
At Armand DeMille, ArmandDimelle.
And we'll be back with you. Our telephone number here is 212-757-4488 if you need to reach out to us about any of the premiums. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends.
Come también, si no vacilo, se come también que para gozar. Iriribum, iriribum.